Welcome to the Berwyn United Methodist Church audio podcast, where we bring you a condensed version of our weekly worship experience right to your ears. Whether you're on your morning commute, enjoying a quiet moment at home, or wherever you may find yourself, we are glad you've chosen to join us. Each week, we deliver a message that strives to inspire and challenge you in your faith journey. Today, we're diving into a thought-provoking sermon that explores the heart of God through the stories of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. We'll dive into how these parables remind us of our call to seek the lost and celebrate their return, even when it seems reckless or challenging. So settle in as we read scripture, reflect on the sermon, and pray together. Let's engage with the love and grace that beckon us to share in God's relentless joy.
Our first reading is from Psalm 119, starting with verse 167 and going to 176. My soul keeps your decrees. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and decrees, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. My lips will pour forth praise because you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your promise, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let me live that I may praise you. Let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek out your servant, for I do not forget your commandments.
I'm going to be reading 32 verses this morning as I tell three different parables all dealing with lost things in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. May God's Spirit be with us as we read them and hear them so that we might hear them afresh. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or that a woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me all my share of the property that will belong to me after you die.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have enough? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off and went to his father, but while he was still far off, his father saw him. He ran and put his arms around him, and he kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you. I have never disobeyed your command, and yet you have never given me a single goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed your fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, seeker of the lost, finder of things that are broken, mender of all things broken. We come before you, yes, as broken people in need of your mercy, but as people who are with you now, wanting to be a part of the celebration. As we are in this time of worship, as we hear your word read and proclaimed, send out your spirit to us so that we might experience it anew, be transformed by your presence, and be your children and a part of the party. We ask this all in the name of Christ.
Amen.
Jesus asked the question in this parable, or in this passage, wouldn't you do the same? He talks about a shepherd who would leave the 99 safe ones to find the one that is lost, searching high and low all over the countryside looking for the lost sheep. And when he finds it, he throws a party inviting all of his neighbors over. And Jesus asks, wouldn't you be the same? He tells of a woman who loses a silver coin, and she turns her house upside down looking for that coin. She lights a lamp burning precious oil looking for that coin. She looks relentlessly, and when she finds it, she throws a party. She invites all of her neighbors over to celebrate, probably throwing a party worth more than the very coin that she found, but she throws that party nonetheless. And Jesus asks the listeners, wouldn't you do the same? And if we were honest with ourselves in talking about sheep and in talking about coins, and as someone who has lost so many things over my lifetime and found them, many of them, not all of them, my truthful answer is no. This is weird. This story is weird. One who, you lose a sheep and you go looking for it, but to throw a party and likely sacrifice one of your other sheep in the process to throw that party just seems ridiculous. To spend all of that time and energy and oil going through the night to find your silver coin, sure. As someone who's lost a $20 bill in my pocket and who has looked through every pair of jeans around trying to find them, I can understand turning things upside down trying to find it. But to throw a party and invite all of your neighbors, probably spending more than what you had lost and found? That doesn't make sense. And so when Jesus asks, wouldn't you do the same? The worldly answer, our legitimate answer, is likely no. What kind of sane, rational person does this? It doesn't make sense. God's love doesn't make sense. And in this story, these stories that Jesus tell, and the lost coin, the lost sheep, and what I like to call the lost son, Jesus is challenging our natural tendencies, our natural expected response, and trying to get us to transform that into something else entirely. He's trying to reshape how we respond when the lost has been found. To not just ignore it, to not just go on with our lives when the lost is found, but to stop and celebrate. These parables, at least especially the first two, show us the heart of God that notices when something is lost, that notices when something is missing, that notices that sheep is gone, that notices that coin is missing. But then not only notices it, but doesn't say, oh, well, it'll turn up. But relentlessly seeks it, overturning everything, trying to find it, spanning and scanning the hillside, looking and listening, hearing for that sheep that's crying out and bleeding. He tells these stories because he's hearing the Pharisees and the legal experts in his time grumbling that Jesus would dare associate himself with sinners, prostitutes. How dare he, if we heard this before, if he knew who she was, he wouldn't let her touch his feet. If he knew who he was hanging out with, he would get up and move someplace else. He would not let them in because you do not associate with such people if you are holy. We've heard these stories. We've heard these messages before in this gospel and in others. And we live by them more often than not. We want to hang out with good people. We want to hang out with holy people. But Jesus, as the fullest expression of God's love, as the Son of God here on earth, welcomed the lost, welcomed the sinner, and sought them out like a shepherd seeking the lost sheep and the woman searching for a lost coin. For God, seeking out the lost is not just an option. It's not something that God does when it's convenient or easy. It is at the very nature of who God is. The lost is at the heart of God. And God's pursuit of the lost is persistent in its search and exuberant in the celebration when that lost is found. To the point where that celebration makes absolutely no sense from our perspective. Almost reckless. So Jesus asking, wouldn't you do the same? In that turning of a phrase, in that turning of our hearts and minds, is asking us, if you want to be like God, if you want to be like me, if you want to be my disciples, wouldn't you do the same? Or shouldn't you do the same? Be so relentless in your seeking of the lost and so exuberant in your celebration when they are found, when we make God's priority our own. The big word we use in the church for describing seeking the lost is evangelism. It's a word that's got a whole lot of baggage associated with it. All of the stories of, well, I was sitting next to somebody on the airplane, I couldn't go anywhere, and they wouldn't stop talking until I said, yes, I'll believe in Jesus Christ. Just leave me alone, whatever it takes. Or the stories of, yes, I believe in Christ because I'm afraid. You've convinced me that hell is so real and so horrible that I am so afraid that I'll hedge my bets. If Jesus is real, great. I'm saved. If not, well, I didn't give up much. Evangelism is simply this. Finding those who are not in the party, those who have been lost, those who have been excluded, those who think they are unredeemable, unforgivable, and invite them to the celebration. We talk about experiencing the fulfilled life, the fullness of life that Christ offers in this life and the next. And if we want to be a part of the party, then our role, our task, our privilege is to be a part of the search party. And then we get to be a part of the found party. Now, too often, maybe we wait until somebody cries out for help. We'll sit around. If somebody asks, then sure, we'll say something. Somebody cries out and says, I need some help over here. We'll get out. We'll go and lend a helping hand. We'll tell them who Jesus is, I hope. But otherwise, we wait. We sit. That isn't the way God worked. God works in these parables as the shepherd who seeks the sheep and the woman who seeks the coin. Oddly, in this case, in the prodigal son, the father doesn't go searching. This three-story triad, the difference is in how the father and the son, and the other son behave. They don't seek out the lost son. They don't seek out their missing relative. They wait until the son comes back. And in Jesus Christ, taking on flesh and becoming human, walking among us, living our life, feeling our joy, feeling our sorrow, feeling our pain and suffering, and even worse, in having been tortured and placed on the cross until he was dead. This is a sign of a God who will go through anything for the sake of the lost, who did not wait for us to cry out for help, did not wait for us to get our lives in order, did not wait for us to come to our senses and say, what am I doing here, wanting to eat the pods and the slop that's fed to the pigs? Let me go back. But it is a God who sought, who searched, who died and rose again. We capture a glimpse of the heart of God, and that heart can be ours. But what holds us back? What keeps us from seeking loss? What keeps us from going out and figuring out where they are and how to bring them back? Carry the sheep back into the fold. One, complacency, comfortability. We're comfortable with being in the 99. We're okay. We're safe. The shepherd knows where we are. The shepherd knows that we're safe. We don't have to worry. We've got it made. We can chomp on some grass. Everything's fine. We don't need to worry about the lost coin. We're still here. We're still on the table. We're safe and sound. So complacency can keep us. Comfortability can keep us. But so can judgment, just like the older brother and the lost son. We can say, why is the shepherd spending all of that time looking for that one lost sheep when there's 99 of us here perfectly fine? Are we not enough? That sheep wandered off. Why would the shepherd spend so much time and energy looking for a sheep that wandered off on its own? little hard to talk about the coin story in that way. Where the other 9 coins were safe on the table, were easily found, easily kept, ready to be spent on whatever's needed. Why would the woman spend so much time looking for that last coin that rolled away when there's 9 times the value sitting right here on the table? Why would she spend one of us to throw a party for one of them? Judgment. The lost are not worth pursuing. They deserve what they got. They deserve their lot in life. I wash my hands of them. Fear. Insecurity. This one perhaps keeps us from going out and seeking loss because maybe the lost don't want what we offer. They don't want to hear what we have to say. They don't want to experience the invitation. And we think when they say no to the invitation to the party, they're saying no to us. So we are afraid of being awkward, afraid of the confrontation that can ensue. Maybe distraction. We're too busy. I'll look for the lost later when everything else is under control. There'll always be time to look for the lost, but right now I really need to get this other thing done. If you remember last week, if you were here, we talked about that sense of urgency that we needed, that we may not always have tomorrow. We may not always have the next moment. And so what we do in this moment, in this time, matters. This is especially true and living out the heart of God to say, this moment matters. Neither I nor the lost may have another one ahead of us. So let's get them into the party and celebrate now. So if you had to pick one, when you say maybe you feel internal prompt to go talk to a neighbor or a friend or a relative and invite them into the party, into the celebration, what's the reason you may come up with for saying no? Do they get what they deserve? You're afraid of making waves? You're too busy? If you had to pick one, or is it another one entirely? Which of these barriers do you struggle with personally? And which one do you think we might struggle with as a church, together collectively? But we need to get past, well, hesitations, these barriers. Because there is a world of people who are hurting. There is a world of people who are living in fear and despair and without hope. And it seems like even more so now than even a year or 2 or 10 years ago. Is the world going to come to an end as we know it? Will family be deported? Will health Our health and prosperity come to an end? Is there no way out of the path that we're on now? I know there's people outside of these walls asking questions because I know there's people inside of these walls asking these questions. But we as people of faith in Christ know that there is a way of transformation, a hope and knowing that even death itself is not the final answer. Is not the end. There is a reason for hope. There is a reason for promise, and there is a reason for celebration, even if it's only that one lost thing that is brought in. And if we have this opportunity, and I want to use that word opportunity, because oftentimes we see evangelism and sharing our faith as an obligation. But we want to see it as an opportunity to participate in God's mission to find the lost. And then we get to be a part of the celebration when the lost is found. Jesus says there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who do not need to. that doesn't diminish the righteousness of those who have already been found. It doesn't diminish what they've gone through. In fact, we go and find the lost because at one point we were among the lost and we were found. And heaven rejoiced over us. The implication of this story is that if heaven rejoices over the finding of the lost, then shouldn't we? And don't we want to be a part of that celebration? Sharing our faith, inviting the lost, is not just about duty and obligation. It's about joy in seeing lives changed and restored and seeing hope take root in the lives of the people who feel hopeless. Some of you may know, as we've mentioned in passing, we're doing a joint confirmation class with Paoli United Methodist Church and St. Matt's United Methodist Church and us. There's about 8 of us, I think, in that group. We met here last Sunday after our charge conference was over. I had a little bit of a break before gathering, and we talked about the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I gave them an opportunity to ask questions that they've always wanted to ask, but never quite knew how to ask them or what to ask or how to phrase it or had the courage to ask. And there was one of those cards that I had that watch me not be able to find it now. It's funny because I was just flipping through this Bible just a few moments before the sermon. I was like, God showed me this card today for a reason. And now I can't find it. It's a little 3x5 card. And the question is, why? Why did Jesus do what he did? Why did he die? Why was he tortured? Why does it make a difference? And that why, that question that we struggle with and try to make sense of it all, is because God's heart for the lost, his mission to seek and save all the lost, including those that would reject him, like the story of the prodigal son, who dared say to his father, "Give me my property now that I would receive when you die." The audacity of such a question. Even those who we think deserve it are part of God's mission to save the lost. Jesus ends these parables without any conclusion statements. He doesn't say, go and do likewise. He doesn't explain what the parable means. He doesn't dive any deeper. He just tells these 3 stories of the lost, the similarities between them and the differences, and then leaves it to the hearers to decide what to do with it. And the same is true for us. What are we going to do with these stories? Are we going to actively seek the lost, or are we going to stand with the Pharisees wondering, what the heck is he doing? God is just too reckless. Surely there's another way. So I'm going to give you some practical next steps that you can take this week and in the weeks to come of how you can be a part of both seeking the lost and being a part of the celebration. 1, think of that person in your life who desperately needs to be invited into the party, into the celebration, into the life everlasting, and pray for them by name each day. If you know more than one, you can pray for them all, but find one. Include in your prayer not only your prayer for them and how God is already at work in their lives, but say, God, give me an opportunity. If there's a way that I can speak your life and your hope into their lives, show me and give me the courage. So 1, identify someone by name and pray for them and pray that God would give you the courage. Then look for those opportunities. God doesn't often work with flashing banners and say, here's the time, right now, say this. Well, I wish he did. You have to look for those moments, look for those questions, look for those doubts, look for those honest moments where they are perfectly and exposingly honest about who they are and what they're going through and how they're feeling at any moment, and engage with them at that level. invite, invest, include, invest yourself into their life, invest yourself into their time, not so that you can get them to come to church, but so that you can see who they are and be a part of that seeking. And then if they get to that moment where they say, you know, I'm ready now, be a part of the celebration and rejoice. Celebrate every step that that person takes towards Christ. And they may take steps towards Christ and not even know that that's what they're doing. But you with eyes and you with the Holy Spirit can see it along the way. Imagine how heaven would rejoice if just one person came to Christ because we were willing to seek them. Are we willing to make it a part of our non-negotiable mission to seek the lost? I hope yes, both for their sake and for ours. And if you're not ready yet, make that a part of your prayer, that God would make you ready. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you are with us, that we are here because you sought us out long before we deserved it, long before we could ever do anything to earn it. You brought us in because of the gift of your Son. And then you sent people out ahead of us over the centuries to seek out the lost so that we might be here in this place, in this moment, in prayer to you through the power of your Spirit. Now you invite us to be a part of that long line of mission to seek, to find, to invite, and to celebrate. So we ask that you, in these moments, you give us the courage and the strength and the conviction that you would show us the people in our lives who are ready because of your work already in their lives, who are ready to explore, ready to be real, and ready to invite someone along in their journey who might invite them back, carrying them when needed, so that we might celebrate and rejoice with them and with you. God, there are so many things in our world this day, so many people that we know, so many people that are hurting, that we wonder if it makes any difference. We wonder how there could be celebration, how there could be joy in a world that is so desperately broken. And so we turn to you as our joy and our strength, as our hope, so that we might not live as people without hope, but we might live as people with hope eternal that stands in the face of our life's difficulties, that can stand in the face of death and both grieve and celebrate. For we know that the end of this life is not the end of all life, but there is something more and far greater than what we could ever imagine. So in these moments, we lift up all those who are grieving the passing of a loved one or a dear friend, those we have lifted up and those that we know in our hearts. May you wrap them in your strength. May you wrap them in your comfort and care, that they might experience your presence in the midst and the shadow of death, that they may too fear no evil. We pray for all those who are sick and in need of healing, who are facing life's end, sooner than they think, sooner than we prefer. Be with all those who are caring for loved ones. Give them strength. Give them wisdom for each passing day. We pray for our community, for all those who know you and those who do not, for all those who are hungry, need of food, for all those in need of shelter, for all those in need of healing of relationships, healing from addiction, healing from feeling lost and lonely, healing and hope from despair. May our lives reflect your light. May our lives reflect your glory. May our lives reflect your mission to bring your hope and healing. We pray for our nation, for all those who live in fear, for all those who are wondering what the next day will bring, for all those, again, caught in hopelessness and despair, who see a world as it could be and feel like it could never get there, We pray for all people in all nations everywhere who face the threat of violence because of where they were born, color of their skin, their gender, what they believe, or who they love. And so we pray, not as a last resort, but as a first salve into the spiritual forces, battles that go around us. But turn that prayer into action so that we may live our lives in the here and now in whatever area we find ourselves in by your kingdom ethic, by your kingdom ways, ways that seem reckless, ways that seem wasteful, ways that seem unheard of from this side of heaven. Give us the strength to live each day as your disciples, to pray, to do, to love, to seek, as you told your disciples to do so long ago. And when our words fail, when we are unsure of what to pray for or what to do next, let the prayer that you taught your disciples flow from our lips and our hearts. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of the Berwyn United Methodist Church audio podcast. We hope the message on God's extravagant love and our call to seek the lost resonated with you and inspired meaningful reflection. As we go about our week, let us carry the spirit of joy and celebration that comes from finding and embracing those who may feel lost. And may we embody God's boundless love in our daily interactions. If you are local to Berwyn, Pennsylvania, and are looking for faith community, we invite you to check us out on our website at www.berwynumc.org, where you can learn more about who we are, how we serve Jesus together, and how you might become a part of it all. We invite you to tune in again next week. And if this message spoke to you, consider sharing it with someone who might need to hear it. Until we meet again, may you find peace, purpose, and joy. Go in peace, serve with love. Amen.